You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Our listeners.
Burning questions.
Insightful answers.
Listener's Choice.
With Clement Maniatela.
And today we are talking about this concept of a mafia state. Is South Africa becoming a mafia state? That's the question that one of our listeners wanted us to answer. So we have an expert who will help us understand what we mean when we talk about a mafia state. And remember, if you have some suggestions, because Listener's Choice essentially is your feature, right? It's your opportunity to curate the content of the show with us. So there are many emails we get from listeners who say, oh, can you talk about this subject? Can you bring in an expert to answer this question? So please keep them coming. You can send me an email on cm@702.co.za. If there's a particular subject, particular topic that we have not touched on, or maybe we haven't sufficiently touched on, that you want us to focus our attention on, we'll look at it. I think on the mafia state, I remember reading a report some time ago suggesting that South Africa has the potential of becoming a mafia state. I mean, there are businesses that are being affected vitally by the illegal trade coming into the country, right? No tax that's paid, no customs paid. And what you have is a situation where the illegal component is taking over that legal component, where organized transactional crime, including illicit trade, you know, in goods is surging. But when we refer to a mafia state, I mean, we're talking about a government that itself is a criminal enterprise. And I'm not sure we are there yet. And you can tell me what you think. When you look at the specific definition of the mafia state, does that describe South Africa? Yes, we have crime that's becoming uncontrollable. You know, we've got investors that are losing interest, right? There are authorities that are corrupt to the core. But does that make us a mafia state? Because mafia states themselves are fairly rare. And maybe if you refer to kleptocracies, you know, government by theft with widespread corruption, those are very common. And maybe that's where we fall. I don't know. Let me know on 011-883-0702 what you think. The WhatsApp line, 0727021702. Eldrick de Klerk is a senior associate at Africa Center for Security and Intelligence Praxis, is going to guide us through this discussion. Eldrick, thank you for making time. Good morning.
Good morning, Cameron. Good morning to your listeners.
So let's start with the definition of a mafia state. How do we define it? How do we know a country is a mafia state?
Well, Clement, we got to be careful when we use words like mafia, because they have a romantic connotation of an all-encompassing, overwhelming sense of organization. And the fact that everything that happens can only happen through and with the hearsay of those who are in charge. And we haven't quite reached there. We have weak governance, for sure, in South Africa. And we have weak public institutions. We're not a failed state. We have independent judiciary by and large. And we still have a functional national and provincial and in places local government. Do we have elements of organized criminality that has sought to corrupt government officials, to thwart and subvert its systems for their own criminal gain? Of course we have that. This has been acknowledged. That, though, does not make us a gangster or mafia state, per se.
Yeah, I mentioned that perhaps when you want to talk about kleptocracies, you know,
yes,
then maybe you can want to argue we are almost close to that. But as I said, I mean, when you look at the definition of a mafia state, it would really be dramatic and exaggerative to argue we are. Do you think, though, that the country is at a level, or are we urging closer to becoming one? If things continue the way they are, the uncontrollable crime, the weaknesses in our governance, in our public institutions, the crime that's embedded even within these public institutions and the authorities that are often involved in criminal elements?
Well, yes. If we look at the elements that you've given, there's pervasive organized criminality, there's kleptocracy, and we have a criminal economy or criminal economic activity that is pervasive, and it includes public officials, private entities, including banks and the like. What we haven't seen, Clement, is political collapse. We have a weak public service, which means we lack competencies and we lack a strategy from government. So that's an issue of political and public leadership and political will rather than simply criminal organization. So the distinctions are a valid one to make. I don't see us at the point of political collapse yet. Once we get to the point of political collapse, that will be significant in terms of that's the final straw that will break the proverbial camel's back, and we will then be a mafia state.
Give us a classic example of a mafia state. So, for instance, Mexico. What happens in a country, and maybe you can give us a practical example of one country that you can define as a mafia state, so we know this is what's going down there, and if we get to that level, yeah, we mustn't be surprised that we start being defined as such.
Well, the idea of mafia comes from ostensibly the Italian municipalities, and it also comes from organizations within New York, for example, where sectors of the economy, like construction or transport, has been run by an organized entity that runs it not in the public interest, but in their own criminal interest. Yeah. So we've had principalities, ostensibly, and local government, where this is more pervasive than entire countries. When it comes to countries in South America, including and the Americas, including Mexico, for example, or Venezuela, what we've seen is that we've seen huge cartels take charge of certain enterprises and certain activities. They share these activities amongst themselves. So I provide transport, you provide the manufacture, and you provide the distribution network, for example. This they've done by subverting and undermining government systems and corrupting public officials. So yet there seems to still be a functional state insofar as basic services seems to still be delivered. Mm. Where basic services are not being delivered to public, to the general public, then and all public, both public and private coffers or profits go to a very small set of the population, then we've seen a total failure of public and private enterprises, and then we have a mafia state. So it's very difficult to call any one country a mafia state per se. We can look at elements within that country and specific activities that has been organized and run by mafia type elements.
Yeah. I want to take some questions and inputs from some of our listeners on 072-702-1702. You can give me a call as well on 011-883-0702. We do often, you know, make these sweeping statements around, you know, countries that are so-called mafia states. But do we actually understand what it means, what characterizes a state for it to be defined as a mafia state?
Yes.
Okay. Eldred, I'm just going to play the voice note I'm going to come back to you.
Hi, Clemmy. It's KB here from Temisa. Today's topic, my brother, is really serious and touching. What, may I please ask your guests there? Because I've noticed that we've got a serious problem of illegal guns in our country. May I please ask him, what's the minimum sentence if someone is found carrying an illegal gun? I mean, I suggest we need a serious deterrent, my father, to eradicate this crime. At least if you're found being carrying an illegal gun, a minimum of 30 years imprisonment. I mean, that will solve many problems. Thank you. Cheers, Clemmy.
So that's another issue linked to this, right, Eldred? The issue of criminality and suppose, you know, gun trading in South Africa. And I wonder if we have a strong law enforcement that's effective enough to fight the kind of crimes that have really been surging in the country recently.
Yes, indeed. Effective law enforcement is necessary in any country. That means you have a competent professional law enforcement and security apparatus, which we unfortunately have seen the weakening of our law enforcement and the hollowing out of our state security apparatus. And we that in the absence of a state security strategy. So the difficulty with minimum sentencing is that each case in front of the law has to be judged on its merits, and there may have to be mitigating sentences. Yes, the judge can start with a minimum sentence recommendation. However, any judge or magistrate has to look at the mitigating circumstances to then modify or in some way amend that minimum sentence. And it could be amended upwards. So somebody can get more than the minimum sentence, but minimum sentencing is hugely problematic in any democratic country.
And could we say that we have powerful leaders that have influence in many organs of the state? I'm remembering the former police commissioner, what's his name, the one who was arrested? Jackie Silebi. I was arrested and passed away. And I remember when I was reading a book by the former NPA head, Bulelani Ngcuka. And in that book, he details just the drama that unfolded at the time of how he was arrested because he was seen to be close to these drug lords and he was protecting them to an extent. And when I was starting to read about the mafia state, I thought, I mean, would that not define, you know, somehow of a path towards a mafia state when you have a whole police commissioner who has a relationship with drug lords and often even protects them from arrest?
Absolutely. Those are the hallmarks and the building blocks of any kind of mafia state or an undue influence by criminal entities on the decisions and actions of state entities like the police. So we got to remember that the state is a fairly big and complex thing, yeah? And all states come to a collapse at some point. We've seen hegemonies of the Roman Empire, we've seen the barbarians, and they've all fallen. South Africa as a state has never truly been run as a state because it always had inherent weaknesses structurally, systemic, and culturally, but it also has an issue of competence. So when we see that an individual who's been given public authority and the ability to make decisions uses that decisions to further a criminal enterprise, yes, that is starting to be the hallmarks of undue influence by criminal elements, which then can lead to a mafia state.
Yeah, and for a country to avoid getting to that point where, you know, you start, you know, edging closer and closer, how important is the role of intelligence? You know, we know about the, you know, challenges we have in this country when it comes to, you know, to state security. And I'm just wondering, do you need a strong intelligence as well in a country to avoid, you know, getting closer and closer to that, you know, to being defined like that?
Yes, indeed, Clement, we do. However, any capability, no matter how strong, has to be targeted and directed. Yeah. So when you deploy or utilize a particular capability, you need to know why you're doing so. We've seen in South Africa that we've had an absence of both a national security strategy, but now with Eskom, both electricity and food security and energy security and all the other things that's going to make us vulnerable, clean water supply, clean drinking air, land use policy, we see that we have a lack of a comprehensive security strategy. In other words, a determination as to where South Africa is vulnerable and at risk, including our economy, because we've left the market ostensibly unregulated, and we've told the banking sector to regulate itself. We've told lawyers to regulate themselves. We've told all other kind of professionals to regulate themselves, rather than the state having a hand in that. And it's almost counterintuitive to think that you need big government. But what you need effective and strong government, and you need government that directs the organs of state and activities against a plan that serves the public good. So you can have a strong intelligence, a competent intelligence as what we use them for and how we use them to ensure that South Africa, where it's vulnerable and secure, where we need to make decisions to mitigate risk, that we're able to do, we get the information to do so in a timely manner, and that we put a plan in place. And what we've seen, Clement, is not just strong leadership. We've seen an absence of political will And political will is not ill intent. It's simply seen a lack of action. And this is why people keep saying that we are talk shop, that we have a plan, but we don't seem to take ourselves seriously and we don't seem to act on the very recommendations and plans that we put in place.
So how do we hold them accountable? Because the police minister is hired by the president and then often will want his own police commissioner. You've seen, Aldred, what happens when the police commissioner doesn't get along with the police minister. One must die. And I don't mean literally, sure. But I mean, you know, the police commissioner often will either be fired, you know, something is going to happen. There are charges that are going to come up. So that relationship also doesn't help out. So as citizens, how do we hold them accountable so that they focus on avoiding these high levels of crimes and they, you know, we call out that that lack of political will.
Absolutely. Part of the problem, Clement, is that we've seen a conflating or a collapse between the divide between the executive authority, which is the public representative, who acts on supposedly in our interest and considers what we, the public, what our needs and our interests are, and considers our voice and carries our voice both in Parliament but also to the public service institution. So the police is a public service institution. The person who's at the head of that police service as a director general is appointed, yes, by the president, but to serve all of South Africa's people. And in fact, to serve us by consent. What we've seen is an absence of consent from you and I and South Africa citizens. We need to reintroduce this idea of consent. And we need to make sure that accountability is not, oops, sorry, I did not see that, but accountability stretches so far as we can set down performance standards for all serving public servants, whether you're a hospital administrator, whether you're the head of ESCOM, or whether you're the head of South African Police Service. We need to know what's in your performance contract. We need to know how your performance on a daily, yearly, or annual basis is going to be judged. And then we as the South African citizens need to be able to speak to that performance. And if we're unhappy with that performance, that's where our, and I'm speaking ideally, Clement, it almost sounds like I'm not within ideal definition of democracy, and your listeners and I will probably be equally frustrated because we're not seeing that. Yet it's that simple. The person who's employed as a public servant, when a public servant doesn't do his or her job and corrective measures have been put in place, if he or she has been given guidance and the tools to do the job and they still fail at it, they should be removed. And it's that simple. And the strategic direction.
Yeah.
Should also be held accountable, because what we've seen progressive ministers fail to give both strategic direction and fail to correct and intervene timely in the South African Police Service to stop its rot and its collapse.
Let's listen to some voice notes coming through.
Good morning, Clement. It's Moeti here. I'd just like to ask your visitor what would be the difference between the state capture and the mafia state? Because the way in which he has just defined it, he was basically defining state capture, but with a difference of few elements. And I think those elements were related to service delivery. But can he explicitly define the two, so that we are able to understand the difference between what is state capture and the mafia state? Thank you.
Yes, Eldred?
An absolutely valid question, because state capture is on the road to us becoming a mafia state. Your caller is wise insofar as that he's saying that this is an important step. When people are determining what the state does and the decision it makes, that is a long way down the road to us becoming a mafia state. And again, getting back to this idea of a mafia state, where the state makes decisions and uses its capability in the interest not of the public good or in the public interest, but in the interest of a few.
Yeah.
And so your caller is right. State capture is a significant step on the road. You have to capture the state first, both in terms of its imagination in terms of its plans and in terms of what it deems it needs and what you can provide. And then once you've captured that, because remember, South Africa is a vulnerable dependent state. We manufacture few things, and we've now become a consumer state that's dependent on either investment or buying consumer goods from elsewhere. Mm. And this is a very dangerous position for any country to be in. We have to start becoming a manufacturing country where we're putting our people to work and we produce for our own context and our own region together with the rest of SADC and the AU, or Africa for that matter. The difficulty with that is that leaders who've gone down that road have been killed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tolu, in Montana, yeah. Good morning.
Hey. Hello?
Hey, Tara, go ahead.
Okay. Regular.
Tolu?
Hi,
sure, Tolu. Yes. So, you're live on the radio, sir.
Yeah, so what I was saying was that, look, if you know, the appointment of the police minister should not be done by the president. It should be done by a separate panel.
Mm, yeah.
To ensure that the minister, the security minister, is independent of any undue influence.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and those calls have been made before. Eldred, what happened to these calls? Cause,
again, mm-hmm. this is where we don't take ourselves seriously, Clement, because you and others and all of us have said that the National Development Plan 2030 and 2030 is around the corner. The panel of experts report all argue and call for the establishment of the National Policing Board. The National Policing Board can set down performance standards, it can set end requirements, it can help to correct and manage the kind and nature and feel of policing in South Africa so that it's more the police we want and the police we deserve than the police we have. We've not seen the National Policing Board being established. Yet, Cabinet and Parliament accepted the National Development Plan 2030, which calls for these recommendations to implement it. And this is where we see an absence of political will. There's simply been no actions on this. So it's right for us to keep asking the question. What we now maybe need to do is go a step further and not just and make our voices be heard.
Mm.
And it's not just through service delivery, because service delivery is a suitcase word that has actually dumbed down the aspirations of our people, rather than saying what Katlehong needs, what Alexander Township needs, what Mamelodi needs, is decidedly different, even though they may be elements of the same thing.
Gotcha.
And they require a different plan.
Yeah. Eldred de Klerk, thank you. Senior Associate Head, Africa Center for Security and Intelligence. Praxis. Let me wrap up with this message. Clement, when university chancellors need to have bodyguards, what kind of state do you think we live in? It's a mafia state. I don't care what the technical term your expert uses. Construction projects are put on hold in this country until a certain gang is given its piece of action. So, yes, this is a gangster state, says Anonymous there on the WhatsApp line. 1131.